You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season. And that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
Don't you love when Papa's talking? Max Kellerman, Chris Canty, Kendrick Perkins will be joining us a minute. I'm Molly Karam Rose. Let's go. All right, so you heard Tom Brady Sr. He's ready to be 4-0 after Tom's much-anticipated return to his home for 20 years. October 4th, to face the coach that he won six rings with. Their first year apart, Bills team missed the playoffs with seven wins, while Brady won his seventh ring and is talking and having more fun than ever. Max, was the Patriot way more Brady or Belichick?
I'm still going to say Belichick. And I'm the one who yesterday brought up the fact, hey, but the Patriots way really underneath was about winning, right? And maybe that's Brady. I'm still staying with Belichick because this is undecided right now. What we know about Brady is that he went and joined a team that was so good that a guy who couldn't start for a single other team in the NFL, how do we know? He was a backup the next year, Jameis Winston. He still may not be the starter this year, right? And Drew Brees retired. Won seven games with a dude who threw 30 interceptions. They were already loaded. And then Brady shows up, brings his boy Gronk and AB. They wind up winning the Super Bowl, by the way, in a funky kind of COVID season, right? Where things were a little bit weird. So that's not the Patriot way. That's Tom Brady makes super team, right? That's big name free agents wanting to sign who still have something left. That's a team that's already stacked with talent. Sure, he brought leadership and all that, no doubt. And he brought a high level of play, too. But meantime, you look at the Patriots. They had nothing. Brady left because they had no weapons, Chris. Nothing. He's like, I can't take it anymore, right? They had nine players say we're not playing because of COVID. Most of the defense, which they hung their hat on. They had a quarterback totally different than Brady off a catastrophic injury. A year off, come and play with no preseason, and he got COVID. And still, remember what a good game they gave the Chiefs? Without Cam even until the second half, right? They had wins against good teams last year, more than one. No, they were still doing Patriots things on the low. He just had nothing to work with. I can't say that the Patriots way is not Bill Belichick. Not yet.
Here's why you're wrong, Max. You're talking about all the opt-outs that the Patriots had. We don't know whether that's because of COVID or they just weren't excited to play for Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. I mean, we're talking about the player being the one that's the difference, Tom Brady being the one that's going out there and executing. It seems like there were a lot of players that were in a hurry to get down to Tampa to be with Tom. Antonio Brown being able to find his way there. Rob Gronkowski coming from the WWE to decide he was going to join Tom Brady coming out of retirement. So I look at this situation and I think back to what opened the door for this conversation to happen. Bill Belichick kicking Tom Brady out of New England. It wasn't that Tom Brady demanded a trade. Bill Belichick decided that he was going to move on from Tom Brady. And that's been a part of Bill Belichick's way. That's been a part of the Patriot way. Moving on from a player a year too early rather than a year late. But with Tom Brady, it wasn't about not being able to play anymore. It was about not being supported properly, and that speaks directly to the head coach in Bill Belichick not surrounding him with the requisite talent that it takes to continue to have sustained success in the twilight of his career. It ain't Tom Brady's fault that Bill Belichick only drafted one Pro Bowler since 2013. That's on the head coach. And so while I'm with you...
Well, that's on the GM, who's also the head coach.
Well, exactly, but it's still one and the same when it comes to the Patriot way. That's the same conversation, right? So when we start talking about who's more responsible for it, I will always lean toward the player because the coach can't go out there and execute. I remember when I played in college for Al Groh, Bill Parcells' disciple, former New York Jets head coach, he had a huge sign in his office. He said, coaches with good schemes and good schemes and no talent coach at unimportant places. for the first time in 20 years, when it comes to the conversation about championships and who's competing for a Super Bowl, the Patriots were irrelevant. I don't think it's a coincidence that Tom Brady left when that took place. Keeping in mind, Tom Brady went down to a team that was 7-9, won a Super Bowl as a wild card.
Yeah, you brought up Parcells, and who was his defensive coordinator, right?
Bill Belichick.
Super Bowl.
Bill Belichick.
And who did Bill Belichick have on that defense?
Lawrence Taylor.
The greatest player who ever did it.
Yep.
And who did Bill Belichick have with the Patriots for 20 years? Tom Brady, the greatest player who ever did it. Of course, even a great coach needs superstar players. I'm not denying that. But do you recall an interception in the Super Bowl that beat Seattle? Malcolm Butler's interception in the Super Bowl? They practiced that. But there's footage of Belichick having Butler practice that. Then the next year, everyone gets on because, of course, they're in the Super Bowl again, right? And why isn't Malcolm Butler playing? I don't know. It seemed to me like Belichick was goading them, daring them. Beat us with Nick Foles throwing the ball. Again, beat us with Nick. And he did. But Belichick will say, no, you ain't going to beat me with your best thing. At best, you're going to beat me with your second best thing, maybe your third. When people say, you know, this guy is playing chess, everyone else is playing checkers. You're all playing checkers, he's playing chess. Usually, I don't know, I don't believe that there's a method to the madness. Belichick is playing chess. Now, maybe he outsmarted himself with Brady. I would agree with that. Because in all of human history, no one has ever been great at 42 at quarterback, ever. And Tom Brady is entering age 44 season. So he's not just breaking the record, he's shattering it. But it was reasonable at the time to think, I need a succession plan. I'm not going to be able to ride this dude forever. And the Patriots were no laughingstock last year. After everything I said, they had two plays, a goal line stand, where, look, a great linebacker makes a play on Cam in Seattle, and they don't win that game. And Cam gets stripped in the red zone against Buffalo, and they don't win that game. Cam, from a 9-7 season, two plays with no one on the team.
But
he didn't have any talent.
They didn't make those plays. So that's irrelevant as the conversation that we're having. It doesn't have any bearing on it. When you start talking about what Bill Belichick did without Tom Brady, like, I don't think you can – you can sit here and say that Bill Belichick is more responsible for the success those guys had over the course of the last 20 years. You wanted to give me the history lesson of Super Bowl 49. Well, let me take you back to Super Bowl 36. Was it Bill Belichick out there making the throws that went to engineer that game-winning drive where Adam Vinatieri kicked that field goal? No, it was Tom Brady making those plays. Was it Bill Belichick the one that orchestrated the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history against the Falcons? No, it was Tom Brady leading that team in regulation.
Those are two very different players. The Brady who won the first time and the Brady against the Falcons are two different players. Brady became an incredibly great player. But earlier on, yeah, that was even when you talk about no huddle, that's Belichick. Oh, this is working. Let's do that. He was doing it more than anyone else. When you talk about Brady with Vinatieri, really what were those teams about? Defense. Brady gets you in field goal position, right? Get you in field goal range and have a great field goal kicker win the game for you. Like, let's be honest, that's Belichick as much as Brady.
I don't know if you can say the two-minute drills or end-of-game situations is on Belichick. He might have worked with that guy in practice, but it's the player that's got to go out there and look at the defense, go through his progression, and then actually make the throws. It's the player. That's why he deserves more responsibility for it. It's the player that ultimately leads the team to success more so than the head coach.
Well, look. Is the Patriot way Brady or Belichick? And I admit, it's undecided, and right now Brady looks good. But I'm not willing to move off of Belichick yet because, yes, the player, of course, has to execute. But who puts you in a position to win in the first place? The Patriots. We had Lewis Riddick on the show yesterday. They're going to make the playoffs. They missed a 500 season by a hair where every single thing went wrong. Now, in that context, will Belichick win the Super Bowl without a great quarterback? No, probably not, right? He missed the Super Bowl. He missed the playoffs with Matt Castle, but they won 11 games that year, 10 with Matt Castle. With Matt Castle, they won 10 games, 11 overall.
Did they go to the playoffs?
They didn't. I'm not saying the quarterback doesn't matter. I'm saying the position. Now, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl without Belichick. He was on a super team last year. They were stacked.
It's still a team that went 7-9 the year prior. So, I mean, you see how much Brady makes a difference, not just from him being a great quarterback, but him changing the culture. And a lot of the Patriot way, a lot of the mystique around that has been about the culture. Well, guess what? Tom Brady is the one that allows Bill Belichick to institute the culture. One of the famous stories about Bill Belichick is being able to undress Tom Brady in the first team meeting of every season. You know why? Because if Tom Brady can be disciplined, can be reprimanded by Bill Belichick, then Belichick can do it to every other player. So what I'm saying is
Arians did the same thing to Brady kind of this season, remember? In the press?
Here's what I'm saying. If Brady doesn't buy into it, then Bill Belichick doesn't have the ability to implement his program.
No
doubt. Have that culture where they have sustained success.
Great,
it has to be the player.
Every great head coach needs a surrogate on the team. Popovich needed Tim Duncan. Joe Torre needed Derek Jeter. And obviously, Belichick needed Tom Brady. You need to have that surrogate on the field to play. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl a very different way. Bunch of high, big profile, still excellent free agent types. A coach who's much more loosey-goosey in terms of the way he does things, at least dealing with the press, than Belichick. He still won it. Did he win it in the Patriot way? Or did he win it a different way? Seemed to me he won it a different way.
Well, we know Tom Brady can win Super Bowls without Bill Belichick. The latter remains to be seen whether or not Belichick can do it without Tom Brady. That's the part that we don't know.
This year will be the deciding factor. And to your point, Max, Cam Newton had COVID, right? They had the most players sit out due to COVID. They've spent a grip in free agency. They have a new quarterback. They get Dante Hightower back. So we'll see what he can do now. By the way, you mentioned the new Brady, who's talking, having fun. We're going to get into that. Is the new Brady the real Brady? We'll discuss that later in the show. Guys, we need to get to the NBA. The Lakers have just two games remaining, but have a bunch of options they have to make. One would be going for the sixth spot. As of right now, they are just a half game behind Portland. Going for it would mean starting LeBron and AD for those final two games to give the team a chance to find continuity and chemistry, as both have missed long stretches of time. And even though they're on a nice three-game winning streak, they could concede the sixth seed and rest all of their starters for a play-in tournament that would begin next Tuesday. Now bring in NBA champion Kendrick Perkins. Perk, top of the morning to you. Where is he?
How you doing, Molly?
Hey, there he is. I'll get to you in a second. I'm going to start with you here, Canty. Should the Lakers rest AD and LeBron the rest of the season?
Molly, had the Trailblazers won last night, I would have said absolutely. But because that door is still cracked open, because they have the potential to still get in a long playoff series and avoid the play-in game, I'm going to say you got to take advantage of it. You got to see how long you can try to entertain the idea of being able to avoid the play-in and being in a long series. Because if you get in a long series, guess what? You allow the law of averages to play out when it comes to the talent with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, when healthy, are the best duo in the NBA. I don't care what the matchup is. If you can get those guys in a long series, that's exactly what you're looking for. So if you have the opportunity to go out there and win this weekend against the Pacers and against the Pelicans, and for some reason the Blazers stumble against the Denver Nuggets, I just feel like that's what the Lakers would want in an ideal scenario. Now, the likelihood of that happening, I don't know. But I think as long as it's a possibility, you have to see if AD and LeBron James can go out there and do it.
I disagree. I think, I don't care, as a Lakers fan, I don't care if they lose in the first round or in the conference finals. If they lose, and you talk to any of the Laker greats, front office types, coach types, players, go from Pat Riley to Kobe Bryant, and, you know, having asked them in the past, right? What does that mean? That's a failure of a season. If you don't win the championship, it's a failure of a season. Kobe would say it all the time. Talk to Pat Riley. What does it mean? How'd the season turn out if you didn't win the championship, right? Especially for the Lakers. You know why Lakers fans want the team to win a championship? Because you can't repeat until you win the first one. Because you can't three-peat until you win two. Lakers fans don't care about a championship. Lakers want to dominate every year, and they consider any season they don't win the whole thing a failure. So I don't care. I'm not trying to preserve, oh, maybe they can last an extra round in the playoffs. As a Lakers fan, you want to win the whole thing. And let me tell you something. You will not win the whole thing with a compromised LeBron or AD. You want them as healthy as possible heading into these playoffs, especially with something like a groin, a hamstring. If it's still tweaked a little bit, you didn't give it quite enough rest, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse through the playoffs. And it'll be a diminished AD I'm thinking about in particular right now. Get these dudes healthy. You know, it does not matter about the play-in game, a one-off. It won't be one anyway. It'll be two games. Get LeBron and AD healthy at all costs. That's your only shot.
Max, I disagree with you. Seriously, I'm with Candy on this one. They have to play. They have to play. LeBron James especially, he haven't played any games. He has to get those repetition under his belt, Max, for his workload on his legs, right? You can't ask LeBron James. I don't care, you know, if he is Superman, a guy that invests $2 million on his body and a physical specimen. You cannot ask him to have been sitting out over the last week and a half and come back and play at the NBA highest level, which is now going to start in the play-in tournament, and think he's going to perform well. That's not how it works. If I'm the Lakers, I use these two games. I'm not worried about the win or loss column. I'm worried about these guys getting their rhythm, getting their repetition. Just like I told y'all last game when they played the Rockets, it was a brilliant move for to sit both of them out. That way the role players could find themselves and get their rhythm down. Now it's time for LeBron James especially to use these two games just to get his rhythm. I don't even care if they win or lose. It's just about getting his rhythm, getting adjusted to that speed again, testing his ankle out, making sure he's okay. Because guess what could happen? And we've seen this throughout this season. When guys come back off an injury and they start to ramp it up and play at the highest level, sometimes they may favor the ankle or favor whatever part of the body that they hurt, and then they hurt something else. So you can't ask LeBron, who's been sitting out, to continue to sit out the last two regular season games and think it's not important. It is important for him to get his
rest. It's not important, Perk. It's not that it's not important. A dilemma, as I say on this show from time to time, people misunderstand. They think it's like a tough choice. A dilemma is a choice between two bad options. Both options are bad, right? That's why it's a dilemma. This is a dilemma for the Lakers. I'm not denying what you're saying is true. But the worst option is having a compromised AD for the next 2 months. That's how long the postseason is in the NBA. You want 2 months to ride with an AD who's just going to be more and more diminished? You're right, of course. You want to play him. But right now, actually, where I think you're going to get your legs back a little bit, the sea legs at least, heading into the first round, is in that playing game or games. Yep, they could lose to the Warriors. They could lose to the Blazers. Something like that could happen in game one. They're not losing to the Spurs or the Grizzlies in game two. Not with LeBron and AD on the floor. Not with them both healthy. I'm sorry. And those two games, if it's two, will serve as doing exactly what you want these end of the regular season games to do. The difference is they'll be heated up in playoff mode, having faced that kind of intensity, and they go into the first round, to me, fortunately, against Phoenix instead of the Clippers. I like everything about that better. Two bad options, but the worst Max, one right now is playing hurt players.
Max, you know what? The way that you're talking right now lets me further know that you didn't play the game of any sport.
Took that to let you know?
Because just saying something crazy like that, man, like anybody that played any type of sport in the world, Chris, you could contest to this that, man, look, when you're hurt, the only way you get back in rhythm is by getting out there. And, Max, what I'm telling you is I'm not saying Anthony Davis has been out there. LeBron James hasn't. LeBron needs these two games to get his rhythm, make sure he's getting, see where his speed is, his athleticism, getting the flow of things. Because, Max, if you come back and you haven't played a game, guess what? Your timing could be off. Your passes might not be as sharp.
Yeah,
you might
yeah.
not be able to play the role like you want to. All those things come into the play when you're talking about sitting out, Max. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not about the wins and losses. It's not about the play-ins. It's about these guys, especially LeBron James, getting the proper
See, but
rest.
I see. You saying that lets me know that you have a hearing problem. When you say that, you know that someone can't hear. Because I acknowledged that point, Perk. That's right.
Perk.
LeBron should get his rhythm.
Perk.
But the health is more important.
Perk, I completely agree with you. And to take your point a step further, Max never plays sports, so he doesn't understand this. LeBron and AD, neither one of them are going to be 100% no matter how much rest you give them. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that more rest isn't better, but when it comes to these two players, we have to acknowledge the reality that both of them haven't been healthy the entire year. And so when you have a situation where you can play in a game and be sent home after if something goes wrong in that game, You would rather have a situation where you have more margin for error in being in a long series where you trust LeBron or AD to be able to figure it out if something happens to one of the other guys. Like, I just look at this situation, that play-in tournament, that's a little bit dangerous for the Lakers, even though yes. I'm acknowledging that they will probably make it out. There's no telling what could happen from a health standpoint with either one of those guys, which is why they have a better shot if they
LeBron
get into a long series.
The better argument is for LeBron since he runs your offense. Don't forget, so does Schroeder, and Schroeder's been out the whole time too. That's why I'm saying it's a dilemma. It's just bad. Nothing about it's good. It's just bad. But I'm especially focusing on AD. If you are talking about, and I didn't want it to come to this, I agree with you guys that toward the end of the season you want them to just, oh, maybe they'd have just enough runway. But what I see is he's still hurting. By his own admission, last time he played, Anthony Davis said, I'm hurting. And you could see it in his play. So what I'm saying is you guys are talking about the danger if you're not in rhythm in the playing game. It's not going to matter if AD keeps getting worse. You have to give him the best possible shot to be healthy after the regular season is over, as healthy as possible, because that's the best shot to win a championship. And for Lakers fans, that's all that matters.
Well, one more point. I tell you this much. You know what we are about to see? We're about to see those top teams at the Western Conference start monitoring where the Lakers are going to be at. After Portland lost last night, I guarantee you they're going to try to position themselves not to play the Lakers in the first round. And Candy is right. Look, the Portland Trail Blazers, their last game is against the Nuggets, right? We don't know. The Nuggets own the tiebreaker. We don't know what could happen. If LeBron James and AD says they're going to go out there, and it's going to tell by tomorrow's game. If they go out there and they're playing extremely hard, as they should, but if they play in the win, that means that they're going for that sixth seed. And I think that they should go for that sixth seed, because you never should try to trust a play-in tournament. Go for the guaranteed dollars, and that's getting to that sixth spot. Because
I'd rather play the Phoenix Suns than the Clippers right now if I'm the Lakers. I would rather play Phoenix.
Max,
than
but you could get – all right. You're taking the gamble.
They're both bad.
Who would you rather play? Suns or Clippers?
But you're taking a gamble, Max. And trying to downplay. Yeah,
I'm not taking a gamble. I'm saying the benefit is not only do you play the Suns, but you also get further rest for your guys versus you try to establish a rhythm, sacrificing, potentially risking health for an injury to AD that's only going to get worse in order to play the Clippers in the first round. That's why you're taking the risk?
Max, first of all, no one at the top of the Western Conference, and I said this, scares me. Everyone is looking funny in the light right now, okay? That's the first thing.
Second of all, Max,
a play-in tournament, right? Who's to say Steph Curry gets hot? Who's to say LeBron James?
So they lose Anthony that game, Davis? Fine. They're going to lose to the Grizzlies or the Spurs?
Hey, we don't know.
I do.
Like, you can't. What if their rhythm is still off? If you're the general manager, and we go off of what you say, if you're Rob Pelinka right now telling us to rest AD and Braun, and they come in and their rhythm is off, and they can't get their full stride, and they lose both of these games, they're not going to.
You mean to tell me they have a better chance to lose one game to the Grizzlies or Spurs after already having lost to the Warriors or Trailblazers? That is a higher possibility than they'll lose to the Clippers in the first round with a compromised AD?
See, and that's the problem, man. Max, that's the problem. This is why I say, look, while you're napping or you're Max me anything about boxing, I got three TVs going, and I'm watching the league pass. And if you think that this Memphis Grizzly team, if you think something is sweet about this Memphis Grizzlies team, you're tripping.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. All right, it's been widely reported that Aaron Rodgers made it clear he does not want to play for the Packers any longer. He's unhappy with his GM, Brian Gutekunst, comparing him to Jerry Krause in his contentious relationship with Michael Jordan. Well, former Packer Amon Green echoed his concerns about the Packers general manager. Take a listen.
I say, hey, bro, you got to be honest. Me and him, we crossed paths when I was a few years ago. I was trying to get into the NFL in terms of scouting. I had a conversation with him myself personally, and I remember doing an interview with him. They said, oh, well, you have a little bit too much experience. And I'm like, huh? I was like, well, wouldn't you want somebody like that on the staff? It's just be honest. That was not an honest answer. So he needs to be real. He needs to learn from this situation by being honest with his players.
Be honest, be real. Max, will Rodgers win another Super Bowl with the Packers?
At this moment, I think the answer is yes. I'm going to say he will. And the Krause comparison, obviously, look, Krause said it's time to move on. Probably a little early, right? We'll never know, but probably early. And also here, Gutekunst moved on early because he moves up to take a quarterback, Rodgers' successor. Obviously, they don't believe in the guy. They wouldn't be making Rodgers the offer, the highest guaranteed offer ever. And Rodgers showed it looked like maybe he's in decline. Nope, he's as good as he's ever been. And so he's as good as he's ever been. And the Packers are as good as they've ever been. And the Packers have won a Super Bowl in the past. And by the way, look at the results before Rodgers even knew the system. Before he knew the system, they went to the NFC Championship game, won 13 games, beat Russell Wilson, right? In the playoffs. And then last year, had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Also in the NFC Championship game, also a 13-win team. Rodgers wins MVP, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So if he remains on the Packers, And at this moment, I'm leaning towards, I think in the end, he will. Year in and year out, see how the Chiefs are always favored to get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl because they have mm-hmm. Mahomes and a good team?
Yep.
If you have Aaron Rodgers on a really good team, which the Packers are, every year they're going to be among the favorites to win the Super Bowl. And if he's there for another 4 years, let's say, one of those times he's going to hit it. It's bites at the apple. They get one every year because of Rodgers and a very good team. I'm going to say yes.
Max, you know we are on the same page when it comes to Aaron Rodgers' best chance to win a championship still being in Green Bay. But that being said, I don't think he's going to win another one. I don't. I mean, when you look at the NFC right now, they have the four shortest odds to be able to make it to the Super Bowl behind teams like the Bucs, behind teams like the 49ers, behind the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm not sitting there saying that it's impossible, but I just don't see it happening with this current team. I just don't. When you look at Green Bay, they continue to lose pieces on that offense. That offensive line lost another big piece this year in free agency in Corey Linsley. The year before that, they lost Brian Bulaga. Your quarterback needs those guys in order to have success at the highest level. At some point, that ends up catching up to you. The other thing that I'm concerned with a little bit with the Green Bay Packers is their salary cap situation. Because guess what? This Aaron Rodgers thing doesn't get fixed with him coming back to Green Bay unless they address the contract. That's not going to create a whole lot more cap room for the Packers in future years. So that has to be a concern because you got to continue to add talent to this roster. And those other teams, they're not going to have the cap constraints that the Packers will over the course of the next 3 or 4 seasons. So while I hear what you're saying about where the Packers are at right now and how close they are, I still don't see them being able to get past teams like the Buccaneers with Tom Brady and like the LA Rams with Matt Stafford. I don't see it.
I actually see this is where we part ways. Yes, they have a cap issue, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to get into Julio Jones in a little while, and neither one of us are going to say the Packers should trade for Julio Jones because we know they can't, mm-hmm. right? They're capped out. And this also shows you why Aaron Rodgers is so upset when the Packers, who've done a very good job in recent years, creating a good, balanced team, both sides of the ball, through the draft, right? Why he's like, Dan Orlovsky tweeted it, 10 years in a row, the first round pick is spent on a defensive player, except the 1 year you spent it on an offensive player, you traded up to take my replacement. They're going to have to find talent on the offensive side of the ball through the draft. But here it is. If Rodgers is still on the Packers and he takes the deal they're offering, oh, believe me, that's going to come with an understanding. Yeah, Aaron, we want to hear your input. Doesn't mean that he gets to decide everything, but he's going to have input. Watch what happens in the draft the next time they need an offensive player. If they don't win the Super Bowl this upcoming year with Aaron Rodgers, right? Watch to see if they take an offensive or a defensive player in the first round if Rodgers signs that deal. My money's on offensive player. And by the way, if he returns to the Packers, they have a hell of a shot to win the Super Bowl this year. This year they could win the Super Bowl. I know that the Bucs are returning the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
That Bucs team, they were this much better than the Packers team. Last year, they were a little bit better than the Packers team last year. Something breaks this way, something breaks that way, the Packers win, right? And that could easily happen right now.
They scored the most points per game last year and top 10 defense also.
They're a good, balanced team. I mean, Chris, you said that.
They're a solid team. I don't think this defense was as good as the defense that Aaron Rodgers had when they won a championship the first time around. Right. That's a different animal. But in terms of where this Packers organization is philosophically, they're going to have to make some serious concessions in order to bring Aaron Rodgers back. And I think a big part of that is the contract. But I'm not on board with the general manager actually allowing Aaron Rodgers to have input in terms of how they're going to shape this team. And that's a big problem for me when you have that kind of discord with the quarterback not trusting what the front office is going to do and not trusting the personnel that the front office tries to surround him with. That's the genesis of this disagreement that the two are having. And I don't know how you compete at a championship level when you have that kind of dysfunction within your team.
Well, one of the problems with the Packers has been low these many years, right? That in a salary cap league, a hard cap, you have to know how to allocate resources. Why is everyone so big on the rookie contract for the quarterback? It gives you more money to spend in other places. When Aaron Rodgers is sucking up a lot of the cap, then you have to look, okay, where can we spend money and resources, right? And
it shouldn't be on backup quarterback.
No, it shouldn't. Yeah. That was a mistake given how Rodgers looks now, right? That was a blunder. But the fact is, since you have Rodgers, that allows you to not draft the guy in the first round. You can spend that on the defense. You can have a well-balanced team because you have this incredible quarterback. This is my big argument against Carson Wentz after his big deal. They don't have this, they don't have that. You are getting all that money to compensate for a lot of that. Rodgers does. Now, to put this team over the top, maybe they need a little more depth at wide receiver. And what I'm telling you is, if he signs the deal, oh, believe me, he's going to have a say in that. They'll wind up drafting a receiver. Yeah. I think he stays.
And you had them in the Super Bowl. We picked it.
Yep.
We picked it yesterday, and you had Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm not betting against Tom Brady. I keep saying that. I don't know why Max keeps throwing shade toward Tom Brady.
I've gone broke.
He's throwing it.
Seven times betting against Tom Brady.
The guy's only been in the conference championship 9 of the last 10 years.
Yeah, is that a lot?
You're going to learn your lesson.
Is that a lot? Is 9 out of 10 a lot?
I mean, at some point, it's got to flip. You might as well just ride with it.
By the way, the 1 year you get to the conference championship, you left town.
One of these years, Max is going to be right.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Jimmy Smith, one of the best players to ever play for the Jacksonville Jaguars, came to the defense of Tim Tebow, saying they need a player like him. Listen up.
We need a guy like Tim Tebow, who's a hometown hero, who has love for the city anyway. All right. He's going to be a great support for Trevor Lawrence on whatever and whatever capacity that is. Whatever capacity that is, it's going to be a positive rather than a negative.
Chris Canty, will Tim Tebow be more of an asset or a distraction?
He's going to be a distraction, Molly. And I don't care how much love Tebow has for the city of Jacksonville. The players in the locker room don't care about that. They care about whether or not Tim Tebow can play. And that's at the heart of this discussion. Urban Meyer is running a big risk with bringing in a guy that hasn't played the sport competitively in 6 years, a guy that hasn't been on an NFL field in a regular season game in 8 years. So when you start talking about the question of whether or not Urban Meyer is putting this Jags team in position to have success, a lot of players have got to be looking at him with the side eye because you've got a guy taking up a roster spot that we don't know that can contribute. And so I have a lot of skepticism when it comes to whether or not Tim Tebow should be in the National Football League. But Urban Meyer bringing him into that locker room, it's only going to serve to distract away from what they're trying to do, which is be about the business of building a program that can have sustained success. And, oh, by the way, developing a guy that they just took with the number one overall draft pick. Tim Tebow is unnecessary noise around the Jags organization, and it can only do more harm than good in terms of how the players on that team view their head coach.
First of all, I don't know. What is it now? You can carry 55, 53. Is it still COVID rules? Is it before game day? What is it? 46, 48? It's around 50, right? It's give or take, you got around 50 guys. And if you're right in that area and you're either the worst guy on the team or you're on the practice squad, basically, right? And what do we always say about Tebow? He's a football player. I don't know if he's a quarterback, but he's a football player, right?
He ain't played football in a long time.
Sure, but what they're saying is, he's never played tight end. They're saying, can you be around 50? Can you be a 50 range player? Maybe not. Maybe he can't. I don't know. So then we talk about distraction. Is he a distraction? You guys remember what I told you a MacGuffin was?
Yeah.
Who remembers? Molly, go ahead. What's a MacGuffin? Do you remember?
You told us a MacGuffin's a character who's a positive distraction in a book?
No.
Okay.
A MacGuffin is simply is a character or a plot device that you think is important,
yeah,
right? But it really has nothing to do with what's really going on. That's how it's a distraction. It's fooling you,
okay,
right? It's an Alfred Hitchcock term, right? A
MacGuffin. I'll pay better attention next time, Professor. I apologize. I failed.
That's it. See?
All right.
Now, Tebow. At worst, is a MacGuffin for Urban Meyer. At worst, he's a MacGuffin. At most, which I think is very unlikely, he can actually somehow make the team. Right? Okay, I agree. That's unlikely, but mm-hmm. not impossible. But at worst, he's a MacGuffin. We haven't said Trevor Lawrence's name. I mentioned this the other day. When was the last time we talked about the most valued quarterback ever maybe coming into the league since, what, Elway or at least Luck? We don't even talk about him. He's not under the microscope right now. We're talking about his team and his new head coach, and all we're saying is the name Tim Tebow.
Can I ask you a question about this? Because you brought this up last time, and I didn't totally understand, and I want you to explain it. But when you're saying the MacGuffin, are you saying that Urban Meyer intentionally knows that he's doing this? I don't know.
I'm not sure if it is intentional.
Okay.
Maybe. I wouldn't put it past Urban Meyer. I would say, look, it's his college coach. It's his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense just from kind of a PR point of view locally, right? He also wants to establish his culture. He thinks Tim Tebow could be a lieutenant for him. I love your theory, Molly. Mm-hmm. Maybe he really wants him on the coaching staff, but he knows he can't get him in the door that way, so he's luring him in with the promise of maybe a roster spot and then say, hey, why don't you hang around for a little bit, Tim Tebow? Maybe it's that. But what I'm saying is the effect, not just will be, is now. The effect we're already seeing is no one is talking about Trevor Lawrence. You know what that means? He can just go about his business. He can go about his business, and Tim Tebow is absorbing all that stuff, and Urban Meyer's absorbing all that stuff. That's the effect of it. The worst case scenario effect. I don't see what the issue is.
Well, Max, since you say we're not talking enough about Trevor Lawrence, let me help you talk about something that could affect Trevor Lawrence with this whole Tim Tebow situation. You're right. We don't know whether or not Urban was intentional in signing Tebow in order to serve as something to keep pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. But one of the things that you got to be concerned with Urban making this move is how the guys in that locker room look at him. And I keep reiterating it because it's important. Guys have to believe that the head coach is going to put them in positions to have success. A big part of being a head coach in the National Football League is getting guys to sacrifice individual goals in order to have team success, to buy into the agenda. If they don't believe Urban Meyer knows what the hell he's doing, I don't think that's setting Trevor Lawrence up to have success. If the players don't believe in what Urban Meyer is going with the schemes, with personnel, then that brings into question whether or not this organization can develop this guy properly. And that's been one of the biggest issues with the Jacksonville Jaguars when it comes to trying to find a franchise quarterback. They keep drafting guys year over year, and they can't seem to find a guy. A big part of that is making sure that you have the infrastructure in place, and the head coach is jeopardizing getting his program and that infrastructure established by bringing in Tim Tebow.
To me, that is a real point to contend with. Like that, I'm not saying that speaks to the distraction of Tim Tebow and everything. To me, that's a separate point, but I can't just dismiss that. Mm-hmm. In other words, the big question about Urban Meyer walking in is he going to think this is college, right? Because, right, that's what you hear from NFL guys all the time. Like, this ain't college. Mm-hmm. He's not going to come in here and think this is his college program. So to make, and I forgot, Molly, if you brought this up or if Chris, you did, to make a mistake with a strength and conditioning coach, to follow that up, who you knew from your collegiate days, to follow that up by bringing in your old quarterback from when you were coaching in college, yeah. When clearly...
Plus you're from college.
That right, yep. that now,
third strike.
Now, I'm sure guys in the locker room, some dudes at least, are looking side-eyed like, this college stuff, is he, because you're walking right into the criticism. Like, exactly what people are looking for. Is he going to be one of these guys who thinks he seems to be doing that out of the gate, right? But to me, that's a separate point as to the distraction point. When we talk about distraction, really, at least what I mean is there's a media circus there. Dudes have to answer questions that takes their focus off the game, what they're trying to accomplish. In this case, the media distraction. Like, who's the most important person, including the coach, on the team by far in Jacksonville? By far, it's Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. By a factor of a billion, it's Trevor Lawrence. I don't see the media circus around him. I see it around Urban Meyer.
Tim's a bigger star at this point.
He's a bigger story right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bigger distraction. But what he's distracting from is attention that Trevor Lawrence would otherwise be getting.
But here's what you're missing, Max. The media ain't the only ones that are asking questions in Jacksonville. It's the guys in those locker rooms asking questions about who's running the organization.
And coaching
whether or not,
staff.
And whether or not that staff can do the job. And you're right, Molly. There have been some reports in Jacksonville that everybody ain't on board with them potentially signing Tim Tebow. So, again, when we have the conversation about the distraction, it's not just about the media or the fan base or former players like Jimmy Smith talking about Tim Tebow. It's about how the guys in that locker room feel about who their new head coach is. And we're saying it already. This is strike two for Urban Meyer. And you don't know how many chances that locker room is going to give you. The chemistry in the locker room, chemistry on a football team, is a very fragile thing. And with this move, we're bringing in Tim Tebow. I just feel like it's counterproductive to what Urban Meyer intended for with bringing him in the first place, which is to try to be an ambassador to his program and to try to develop the type of culture that's going to lead to
Mr.
them
Cantia, being
winners.
Mr. Cantia, I only have one question for you. What's a MacGuffin? Do you remember what a MacGuffin is? Does anyone remember?
No, Max, we don't remember what a MacGuffin is. We don't remember what it is.
Brought it up three times.
It's the distraction,
making him act like he's important when he's really not important.
Yes,
I learned. I pay attention.
Molly did.
I actually liked going to school. Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Tebow's a distraction from what Urban Meyer should be doing.
I'll just end it by saying this. Tim Tebow connected to the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer makes sense to me. It's his hometown, the whole thing. Maybe just the tight end position, I know it makes you upset, isn't the right role.